my normal job during conference is to be the conference photographer. So since I can't take a selfie with this, or I can, I'm just going to take a couple shots of everyone. So smile nice and big. Yeah. Got it riled, I tell ya. Thou shalt not covet. Well, I want to welcome you. My name is Brent Hotley, or Hotley. My mother is an American. My father is Swiss. Worked at the CF European Center for 9 years.
Wow.
Beautiful Kilstimmer. Grew up not knowing anything about CEF. One day, as I was sitting in church, I'd been working at a print shop doing graphic design. I went through trade school to become a graphic designer. I'm sitting at church, and I hear about a missionary family, the Shireys, who had, at the time, three young girls, and they came up and they started talking about Switzerland, which, of course, I was very interested in. And then they talked about graphic design, and I almost fell out of the pew. Because I didn't know that you can have missionaries in Switzerland as graphic designers. And so it was there that God started the ball rolling. And I joined the ministry of CEF, and that was 16 years ago. And I thank God it's been the best 16 years of my life. So praise God for what He's done. Well, welcome to this. Be better presenter or better presentations. I do have a little disclaimer. I didn't realize that the projector is a little old, so it's not showing everything on my screen. As you see, it cut off. So rule number one, test things like 3-4 hours beforehand. See? Teachable moment for all of us. The next thing I do want to share is this. I know what it's like. Switzerdeutsch is my second language. If any of you are having trouble interpreting, if you want me to slow down or if you want me to repeat something, please, please just say, can you repeat the last thing that I said? And I will make my best effort to do that. Several years ago, we were at Kilstimmer. We're having a class come through. Actually, it was several missionaries that came through, and they all gave presentations. And my coworker Gary Cousins and I were sitting there, and we're watching this presentation. Now, we had sat through presentation after presentation after presentation. And this one was a particularly poor presentation. Our eyes started glazing over. There was drool that started coming out of my mouth. I looked over at Gary, and Gary was just rolling his eyes. I think people could hear his eyes rolling as he was doing that. And we thought, wait a second. We're CEF. We're wonderful storytellers. We do an excellent job with other visuals, with other things, but why is it that presentations are so difficult? Why do we have struggles? And it's not just in CEF, it's in the business world. Anyone can make a bad presentation. That's not hard to do at all. Whether you're in business, as I said, or if you're in ministry, sometimes you can have a really bad slide or something that doesn't help you. Have you ever been in a presentation where someone has put every single point that they're going to say on one slide, and so within 15 seconds, you've just read the entire presentation, and you still have 45 minutes to wait to hear what they're going to say about all those points that they just told you about? Well, I've been there. I've done that. I once heard a guy named Guy Kawasaki, I just made a pun, who he is a person, he's a venture capitalist, and he has to sit through every day on average between 3 and 6 presentations as they're doing sales pitches to try and get him to invest into their company. And he says he goes away from those with a lot of headaches because people don't take the time to understand what a good visual presentation should be like. So because of this, there was a term that was coined a number of years ago back in the 1990s called death by PowerPoint. And death by PowerPoint talked about slide after endless slide after endless slide of drivel, of lots of things on the screen, of of too much text, of too little context, and where the person who was giving the presentation relied on what was on the screen and not what they were going to say and not how they were going to convey it. And so it literally took a turn, death by PowerPoint. It became real life in this. A number of years ago, the Space Shuttle Columbia, when it was re-entering the Earth's atmosphere, it broke apart over Texas. And the space shuttle killed a number of astronauts who were on board because some ice had hit the wing and it caused damage. And when it re-entered the atmosphere, it ripped the entire shuttle apart. Now, what happened was, during the talk that the engineers were giving and when they were giving information to those who were making decisions, they saw the ice hit the wing, it went up safely, it docked to the International Space Station, and while it was at the space station, these engineers decided, hey, we need to tell our people what's wrong. But what they did was they didn't come in and they didn't give a good informational speech, they gave a PowerPoint deck, a group of PowerPoint slides. And what happened was their recommendation that the space shuttle be checked or that there was possibly a problem was on a sub point in the presentation. Now, if I'm giving a presentation, I'm wanting to tell someone, listen, we need to check this out because people could die. Yes. Wouldn't that be a main focal point?
Amen.
That's right. We have children that are dying, both physically and spiritually. And sometimes we make it a sub point. And so when we are giving presentations, we need to remember that we got to retool. We have to rethink how we're doing it. And so, first of all, this is not going to be a tutorial of click here and move this here and drag this here and click this. No, this is going to be a total retool and rethinking of it. And so my first point is this. Make sure you hit the right button. First point is let go of everything that you have ever thought about with PowerPoint from right here. Just here, all I'm asking you to do is this. Listen to what I have to say. Because a lot of times when people are given a PowerPoint slide that they have to do. They're given a presentation. They have to create a presentation. They'll say, all right, great. I got a presentation to do, so let me do this. I'm going to go right to my computer, and I'm going to ask you this. Don't start at your computer. Don't start here. Because a presentation is really kind of an artistic approach. You need to have an artistic approach to it. But hold on, a lot of people say, wait, Brent, I can't do that. I have no creativity whatsoever. It's a creative process, but how can I create a presentation? I don't have creativity. And that's what I'm going to tell you, that you're wrong. You have creativity. Who created you?
God.
Are we not created, first of all, in God's image? And did we not get some attributes of God? Well, now, we're not omniscient. We're not all powerful. We can't be everywhere at once. But he gave us creativity. And some of us have creativity that we've learned in different ways. Some of us are artistic. Some of us, like me, I can't draw anything. That's funny. I'm a graphic designer and I can't draw anything. If I want an illustration drawn freehand, I'm going to go to my coworker Tim Shirey and I'm going to get him to draw it. But I can't draw things. I'm a technical illustrator. I do technical things. I do layout. I do photography. I do graphic design and positioning things on pages. But I can't draw. But there are those that can. But there are musicians. There are people who are creative in this. If you have management and you need to create management styles and you need to figure out how to manage people, there's creativity in that. And so what I'm saying is this, don't let this idea of a creative process scare you away from creating a good presentation. So my first point is that don't start here, don't start turning the computer on, because the computer is stupid. Did you know that? Computers are stupid. They only do what you tell them to. I just told the computer to get off of my slide. It didn't do it on itself. I did it. Now sometimes they crash, and I don't want them to. Which, Lord, please don't let that happen right now. But the computer cannot make a presentation for you. So instead of starting here, start here. Start analog. And I have in your notes a little bit of an example of word association. And this is one way that I start. And here's another little tip that I have done time and time again. Is that not only have I done word association, but I will email my colleagues and I'll say this. Hey, I'm doing a presentation on coffee. And so when I say the word coffee, what are the first three words that come to your mind? So we're going to do that real quick. Little demonstration. Coffee. First words that come to your mind.
Seats.
Cream.
Wow.
Cream. I heard cream.
Buzz.
Buzz? Like a coffee buzz?
Yeah.
Not like a bee?
Caffeine.
Gift of God.
Gift of God. I heard that. I can't spell.
The plantation.
Flowing stream.
Morning.
Smell.
Cup.
Cup.
Water.
Hot. What color is it?
Black.
Brown.
Asphalt.
Brown. Should be brown. The beans are brown. Coffee should be black, or if you add creamer. But you know, this is what I'm talking about with word association. Get some ideas flowing. Another thing that I will do a lot of times is I'll take sticky notes. And I will have just a marker, and I'll have my little pad of sticky notes, just the yellow sticky notes. And as I have an idea come up, I'll put an idea up, and I'll put it on the board. And I'll put it on the board. And I'll come up with another idea, and I'll put it on the board. And I'll fill my board with ideas. Another thing that some people do is what's called storyboarding. Storyboarding happens during movie production, where people will create all these rectangles, and they'll show what's going to happen in the scene, and they'll have this, and they'll have it come out this way, you know, this person. And so they'll storyboard, and they'll start thinking, how do I want this presentation to flow? So that's another idea for just this idea stage. You're just gathering ideas. You're not editing. You're putting any ideas that come to mind, anything that comes with coffee, and I could have written 100 things down. All these ideas, just put them on there. Put them on there. But you also want to ask a few questions. And some of these questions are really important. They're not questions like this, because I've had people come up to me and say, look, I have a presentation I need to create. What color should I make it? I don't know. Or they'll ask, what typeface should I use? I don't know. I don't know the answer to those questions. But here's the questions that I ask them. Okay, great. You have a presentation. So I ask these questions. Who's the audience? I have it right there in the notes. How much time do I have? You don't want to go over time. That should have been my first point. Who is the audience? Are you talking to CF people? Are they going to know the lingo? If I start shouting out IoT, TCE, you name it, CF has 5,000 acronyms in English. Then we get ZAC, and we have all these other ones in other languages. And so as you think about your audience, you're going to want to know, hey, are they going to understand everything I'm going to talk about? Another one is, what is their background? And I say that asking this, especially if you're going to a church, know the background of the church. And I'll explain why. There was one time when we were doing deputation where I went to a church and I used something, a slide that had something other than King James Version. And I didn't realize that that church had a policy of only King James. Well, that didn't go very well. Now, I say that if you're in the situation, you might want to know the background, the audience, what they expect from you. Are there certain rules, certain things that you want to know about? Another one is, what do they expect of me? Are they there to be trained on something? Are they there to be pushed on a certain way of evangelizing children? You know, they may not know anything about evangelizing children. Are you there to teach them that? Why were you asked to speak? Again, that kind of goes with the, what do they expect of me? What do I want them to do? You want them to sit and just stare? You want them to get up and do jumping jacks or star jumps? Or do you want them to ask questions? Do you want them to interact with the audience? So keep those things in mind. And then the final one is this. This is a big one. What do you want them to go away with understanding? Let me boil it down to this. If there's one thing that your audience could remember, that you want your audience to remember, one thing at all, when they leave after hearing you, what is that one thing that you want them to remember? So boil it down to simplifying it like that. And so now you have these questions. Now you have a basis to start. So you can start with these questions. You know, you have your time. You have what you're going to be doing, what you're going to be saying, what the expectations are. Then you can start taking your ideas that you have, and you can start working through them and processing them. And what's cool about it is this. If you use the little sticky notes that I mentioned, great. If you have this one and you want to change the order, sticky notes is perfect for that. You just start changing the order. You start putting your presentation together in a way that makes sense. So you can start doing that. But here's the other thing about presentations. Don't put everything on your slide. Don't, and I'm going to say this again, don't pack your slide with tons and tons and tons of information. Because, well, let me ask some questions. What would be a good reason why not to pack your slides full of information?
Bore your audience.
It's too small, they can't read it.
They'll be so focused on reading or watching the slide, they won't listen to you.
That's exactly right. They'll be so focused on reading your slide, they won't focus on the presenter. And that's the deal. You're the presentation. That's not the presentation. You're the presentation. And so if you put everything on the slide and they're reading it, in fact, I saw a Facebook message from a buddy of mine from high school, and he wrote something to the effect of, does this bozo not realize, sorry, that was not very nice, does this person who doesn't know what they're doing not realize that I have read through his entire slide about 40 seconds before he finished it? That was way too long. And I saw that Facebook post and I'm like, man, I got to use that in this presentation. And so you don't want to pack your slide with everything. So this is what's great. You have freedom in handouts. Give me your handouts. You want to pack information in something? Use handouts. The great thing about it is you don't always have to make custom-made handouts. You might be presenting on Good News Club Ministry. Guess what your handout could be? Good News Club brochure. If there's brochures for it, you can use those as handouts. Or if there's a website that you can point to, perfect place to get more information. So you don't need to pack everything on your slides. You can use the handouts. Now here's, when I think of a presentation, I think of usually three parts. Three parts of a presentation. First of all, slides for the audience. So very, very simple. What the audience is going to see. Number two, the notes that you're going to have. I use presenter notes right here on the screen so I can see what I'm supposed to say or what I want or my thoughts that I have. So I can see that while I'm looking in the audience and you don't see those notes. And finally, the handouts to take. Now I want to give you a little bit of a caution, because this just happened a little while ago where I was given handouts. You know, everyone was given handouts for a certain event. Now, it wasn't here, so just if you've given out handouts like this, this is, you know, not personal. But It was the entire slide deck that they had. It was all printout of their slides. Well, if you can give someone your slides and say, here's what I'm going to present, you could have emailed that to me and I could have read through it and I could have said, oh, great, thanks for the information, that's perfect. If you give out handouts of all your slides as notes, you know, all these slides, why should I come to your presentation? It doesn't make much sense. Because here's the deal. You always want to leave them hanging, right? I mean, you never want to give away the next part of a presentation. You always want to say, okay, you've given me this, now what's next? So with the handouts to take, think about what you're going to give out. Maybe sometimes your presentation is so simple that you don't need handouts. Maybe it's something very basic, you don't need handouts. But if it calls for that, you can start thinking along those lines. So now you're thinking, okay, I have the presentation, I have all my ideas, how do I put it together? And so you have these questions that you have, hopefully you've had answered. So you start putting together, this is the stage in where you're going to be taking your ideas and you're going to say, you know what, that one, not very good, let me just ditch it, let me get rid of it. So you start pulling, this is the editing stage, you're pulling out, you're getting rid of things. And this might be one of the more difficult aspects of it. In this, if you're looking at your slides, you're saying, what do I want to put on my slides? I love everything that I've written. I love everything that I want, you know, everything that I want to say, I want to put on my slides. This is going to be the hard part. So it's like taking a big block of wood. Imagine your presentation is a big block of wood. And you have to get your Swiss Army knife out, or your lathe out, or whatever tool you can, and you need to start carving away in order to make something really great. You know, when someone is sculpting something beautiful out of wood, they're not adding to it, usually. They're not adding more wood. They're taking away what doesn't belong, what gets in the way. And that's how it is with presentations. You want to take out what's going to get in the way of the presentations. And so sometimes I think of it this way. Anything that's superfluous, anything that's just extra things, and sometimes it's as simple as one or two words or a little extra that can get in the way of keeping things nice and simple for you and making it effective. But the other thing is this, presentations that you give, it comes in two parts, data and story. Data, and they're always going to include these things. You're going to have data in your presentation. You're going to have story in your presentation. But the best presentations that have a mix of both, it's the story that drives the data, not the data that drives the story. I could come up here and I could stand and I can say, last year in CEF of our region, we reached 12,642.5 children with 587 Good News Clubs, 5-day camps, 47 5-day clubs, and a rally. Okay, are you awake back there? Okay, yeah, okay. Listen, we're CEF, we know how to tell stories. We're great at that. So, how about this one? A number of years ago, was working at a CEF day camp in Pennsylvania. Any Pennsylvanians here? Anyone? Woohoo! All right. That's home state for me. So I'm working in Pennsylvania, and with Shelley Hikes, who's the camp director, we're working at a day camp. I had just given 5 days of missionary lessons and interacting with the kids, and this little girl came running up to me, and she gave me a poster that she drew, and she gave me a big hug. And she said, thank you so much for coming to camp. Thank you for coming to camp. And I thought, oh, that's kind of cool. Thank you very much. And she went running away, and Shelley Hikes came up to me and said, do you know who that little girl was? Wow. I didn't. This is actually in Jen, my wife's hometown. I didn't really know who she was. And Shelley said, well, this little girl, her parents are in prison right now. They got caught selling drugs. And she's living with the grandparents, and these grandparents don't want her. This girl doesn't see love. And she thought that you showed her love this week so much that she went and made a poster for you. Story. Let the story drive the data. You know, data is this. We had the wettest summer in 5 years or in 10 years. You know, that's the data. How about this for story? Okay, we had a wet summer that, you know, made it difficult to do our five-day clubs. But you know what? We've been praying in Good News Club year because we've had drought. Those kids, their prayers were answered. Because we get the rain that they've been praying for. So take it and make story. Find a story in anything that you have. Because again, a computer can spout out all kinds of numbers, but a computer can't tell a story. So a story's personal. It's how we share, it's how we connect with people. And again, with data, have data in context of story. Okay. So with that in mind, we're gonna do some design tips. So we have our words, we have our themes, we have our thoughts, we have our ideas. Yeah, I'll take water, please. Thank you. Give him a hand. So we have our ideas, and now it's time to put this thing together. So I want to give you a few tips on, as we look at it, as a graphic designer and as other designers have done, what do we do? How do we get it again? Come on. How do we create these presentations? Well, first of all, remember this. Design is not icing. First rule of design, it's not icing. Cake tastes the same whether the icing's just slapped on or whether it's beautifully decorated. That cake is going to taste the same. Here's another thing about design. Would you rather go over a bridge that's been designed to look really, really pretty? Or a bridge that's designed to hold 40 tons? Design starts at the beginning. Design isn't this. I have all my information on there. Let me find some art to put on there. That's not design. So you start in the beginning. You start with things like this, okay? I'm doing a presentation on coffee. What kind of things can I include? What kind of images? What kind of imagery? What kind of colors? What kind of things can I put together? There's cup. There's brown. I don't know how to illustrate buzz. Maybe a bee or something like that. There's cream. What can I use? What can I take? If I'm talking about CF camps, which I put in the notes, you have trees, you have tents, you have all these things that you can take from and get ideas from to put in your presentation. So that's the first thing. Design is not icing. Second thing, keep it simple. Keep your presentation simple. Don't let your message, a complicated message, get in the way of what you want to say. As a matter of fact, Leonardo da Vinci, who I think is a pretty brilliant person, had this awesome quote. And you've just read it, so I don't need to read it. If that's good enough for Leonardo da Vinci, that's good enough for me. Because here's this man, artist, scientist, astronomer, did so much in human anatomy, all of these different things. And he knew that simple is great. Now, let me preface this by saying simple is not dumb. Simple does not mean dumb. Sometimes when they think, oh, look, I need to make something complicated because I have a complex thing, let me show you what complicated looks like. This has been voted the most complicated slide in existence. The people that were putting the slide together thought, you know what? We have these things to show. Let's show everything because this is going to seem really awesome. I mean, it's just huge and it's great and there's a lot of stuff in it. And the general, when he was listening to this presentation, when he looked at that slide, the commanding general, this is from Afghanistan, the U.S. general said this: the day we understand that slide is the day we'll win the war. Guess what? U.S. troops are still there. That's what complicated things do to your slides. It doesn't make it effective at all. So how can we keep things simple? Well, easy. Limit your text and your bullets. As a matter of fact, bullets are out. I'll just put it out there. Bullets have no real use in an effective presentation other than extremely technical manual details, like technical stuff. We're in CEF. Are we putting slot A into slot B and tab A and doing all these technical things? Sometimes what we teach can have some technical things to it, but I don't think it gets to the point where we have to have bullet point after bullet point after bullet point. And the other thing is this: they're not there to read a newspaper. Think of a slide as a billboard. Sometimes you'll have just a little tiny bit of time to get your message across. And so limit your text and bullets. Next thing you're going to want to do to simplify your presentation is this: use good pictures. If you want to limit text and bullets, use a picture in its place. Because we have a saying in English, I don't know if you have it in Russian: a picture is worth a thousand words. That's the truth. You can talk about this child in Good News Club for 20 minutes, or you can talk about them with a story for 5 minutes and have a picture of them showing them, and your audience is going to get so much more out of that. So limit your text and your bullets. The other thing is less emotion. Now, I grew up near a place called Hershey Park. It was a theme park, and went there a lot. And you know, now that I'm in my years old, you know, I can do some of the things a little less than I could before. I used to be able to go on roller coasters and all these things, and but I noticed this: the more motion that the ride had on it, the worse I started feeling. The other thing is this: sometimes too much motion can get in the way of your presentation. Let me give you an example. I was talking to a local director. This is back in PA, and this is a number of years ago, where she mentioned that she had been in her Good News Club. She had made a PowerPoint presentation with all these animations. This was coming in here, and this was coming letter by letter by letter by letter by letter, and this was zooming, and this was zooming, and every slide had a different transition. And she noticed this was what was happening. The children in the club, they were sitting there and they were looking at the animations that were happening, and they were looking at that. So she was teaching and they were looking at what was happening. And when it came time for the review game, she was giving the review and the children couldn't remember the story because they were too busy looking at the animations. So she decided to do an experiment where she took most, not all, and hear me out, most of the animations out. And she only kept kind of critical ones, things that really made sense to have in there. And so that next time when she did her presentation and it came time for the review time, those kids, they knew it. And it was because they weren't distracted. Too much animation can be distracting. Too many things going on can get your presentation, it can derail it, it can get you off of where you want to go. And so here's what I like to think of. If you have a recipe that calls for a cup of sugar, and you think sugar's good, so I'm going to add 7 cups of sugar into that, your teeth are going to start rotting after a while if you eat those cookies all the time. And it's kind of the same way with animations. Too much animation, too much stuff in your presentation can start giving you a tummy ache and, you know, making you feel not so good. And the other thing is this: if you have transitions between slides, don't choose the random transition. Keep them similar. Keep them with a theme. Have them do similar acts, because really, the best, most effective kind of motion that you'll have in your presentation sometimes are the most subtle. They're ones that you don't even think about. If you say, oh, look at that transition, look at that transition, or look at that animation, if you're thinking, look at that animation, then sometimes that's like a sledgehammer hitting you when you wanted it to be a soft touch. So sometimes soft touches are better. So let's move on. Another thing to keep in mind is quality artwork. Quality artwork, and I'm going to say this right now, clip art is dead. Okay? I'm truly saying that, and I know this is going to ruffle some feathers. Clip art died in the 1990s. Now, why was clip art so popular? Simple. It was cheap. It was all we had. For a lot of us, it was all we had. Guess what? We have a lot more than clip art nowadays. I have a phone, and that phone can take, you know what? Sometimes I wonder why I bought an expensive camera. Because some of the phones that I see, pictures that people put up, they're taking awesome photos with their phone. And a lot of people have great cameras on their phones that they can do custom photos. They can take pictures of all kinds of things. You're doing a presentation on camps, you want to get that tent, you want to get the trees, you want to get the lake, right here, it's in your pocket. You can get those photos and you can start using them in your presentations. The other thing is this, clip art. Clip art, again, it had its place in the 1990s, but so many of those same kind of clip art things have been so used over the years that they're old, they're boring. Photos are fresh, unless you're taking, you know, photos of like clothing from the 1970s, those big bell-bottom pants. Now, those of you that live overseas, that didn't have to endure the 1970s and early 80s era in the United States, you're blessed, I tell you, because some of those patterns, man. So we have quality artwork that's available to us now. If you don't have a camera, there are sites online that you can get free photos that people have put up that are copyright free. They have released the copyright for the photos. So I want you to, and as a matter of fact, they're in the notes. But don't look at them now, you can look at them later. But what I'm saying is this, you don't need to break copyright laws in getting good photos. Now sometimes what I'll notice is this. I'll see a photo that someone's put in their presentation. So you have the photo here, and let's say it's a child, happy child. I told you you can't draw. And it's got a little extra on it that says, Think Star, or something like that. That's illegal. You're using a copyrighted image. Don't use that. And the second part about that is, it's usually a screen capture. It's low quality. Here's what I mean by quality artwork. It's kind of like coffee. Now I made, yes, coffee, I have a kind of a coffee thing because I really love coffee. And I'm going to say it right now, the Swiss make the best coffee in the world. So, if you've ever had a really bad cup of coffee, it's a bad cup of coffee. But if you've had a really good cup of coffee, it's just divine. And if you don't drink coffee at all, I'll pray for you. Or tea, I can substitute tea, good rooibos or something. But it's this, quality artwork is out there. Don't settle for anything less than good quality. Talking about artwork, let's do this. I want you to think of your slide not as a picture frame. Okay? This is a frame. We framed the picture. Think of it as this. It's a canvas. Use the entire thing. Use the entire canvas. You're painting a canvas. So, one example of that is this. You have your canvas that you're working with. Sometimes you can use just part of an object. I'll give you an example. Dave Batchelder, he came to me one day, he said, Brent, I'm not sure what to do with this slide because, you know, he had his apple here. I told you I can't draw. He had his apple here, and he had what he wanted to say over here. And he was, you know, something just doesn't look right. I said, oh, it's simple. How about, there it is. How about instead of your apple just plain over there, just use part of it. Use part of your apple. They're going to know it's an apple. So you don't have to show the entire thing of something in order for people to recognize that it's an apple. That's not an apple, that's an awful drawing. But you can crop and do different things. So I have the apple here. This can be cropped and you can add a heading. So we're talking about spiritual fruit. This is great. You can add color. Now, one of the things that I love to do with my slides is I'm going to sample. I'm going to take a color that's within my slide and I'm going to use that. So I have the apple, the really, really dark of the apple that I got. This deep, rich red. And I put it on there and it almost looks black. But sample color from your photo, it's always going to work in your presentation. So sample colors. Use them from your photos. That really can be a good help. And it can get you away from this idea of, oh, well, what colors really should I use? If they're in the photo, you answer your question. So next idea, next general thing is to have a theme. Have some kind of a theme. Has anyone noticed a general theme that I've been using? Well, coffee is one, but think of some other things that I've been doing.
The text in one picture.
The text in one picture is kind of a theme that I have here. Yeah, what about the text? I heard a number of things and I didn't catch any one of them. Big and little, so big word, little word. What about, what are the differences between them?
Text is the same color.
Exactly. So I'm not using all these kind of different things. I'm keeping a theme. I'm keeping it significant to one thing. But that can be a theme on using typefaces. That can be a theme on kinds of pictures that you're using. That could be a theme on a color, kind of a colored background. Or that can be a theme on objects that you have. Like if you have a Western theme in your camp or your clubs, use Western themes. Use something Western in that. So it's great. You can have consistency in your presentation. So another design tip is this. Display data well. Okay? I love pie charts. They're great. I love pumpkin pie. That's great. If you want to use something that's fun, use something that's fun. Sometimes, I wonder, is that a little... Now I'm going to use an American term, and I don't know how to translate it. Sometimes it can be a little cheesy if you're using something, if you go a little over the top, or if you're really kind of, what's a good definition of cheesy in English?
Silly.
It takes away. I heard a quote once and it said this, cheesiness degrades the dignity of the program. So if you're creating cheesy slides, that can degrade the dignity of CEF or of your own ministry. And here's one other thing I want to mention about that. You know, I said ask questions. I said know your audience or know who you're speaking to. I've been to a lot of CEF events where people have shown slides that looked like they were made for children, but they were talking to adults. Now, I'm 40-something years old, and I'm not a child. Sometimes I'm childlike and I love playing with my children, but I want to be talked to intellectually on a certain level. And if your slides are down here at this level, that's what I mean by cheesiness. So we want to dignify ourselves in that. So sometimes I wonder, is this pie chart a little bit undignifying? Well, it's pumpkin pie. It's my favorite. And there's nothing undignified about pumpkin pie that I think. But with charts and that, charts you want to keep simple. There's a few things about charts. You know, there was one time I remember seeing a chart that had, I think it was like 72 different graphs on it, or 72 different, this was a bar chart, 72 different bars on it. And the presenter was going, okay, you see this one right over here, this one that's kind of the green, You know, they couldn't even find what they were looking for. It was hard to see. So we talk about simplifying our slides. We want to simplify our charts as well. Pie charts. You can take your pie charts and just display certain amounts of depth. Keep it to between 4 and 6. That's the same thing. And you know, pie charts are for percentages. Vertical bar charts show changes over time. You don't need to show all the many different things. If you're just highlighting some things, make those the main points. Horizontal bar charts, these compare quantities. And line charts demonstrate trends. Make sure your lines are nice and thick and bold. And sometimes you may not even want to use the built-in charting program or the charts that PowerPoint has. You might want to just draw your own lines and make your own to make them nice and thick and bold. So, and the other thing is this. Some of these charts are interchangeable as far as what you can do with them. So don't feel like you're stuck. You always have to use a pie chart for this. You always have to use a line chart for this. Sometimes that information can be interchangeable. But let me show you a different way of doing it, just showing shapes. So we want to talk about Good News Club growth that's happening. And so, you know, a few years ago, 2012, we had 17 clubs. Well, and then in 2013, 31. Next year, 33. Well, last year, 77. You know, and what I did was I actually took and simplified this because this was how many thousands of clubs we had worldwide. This was last year's information. We showed growth of what was happening worldwide. Boom! That really conveys some information in a different way than a graph or a pie chart really could. Or, here's another one. I'm really stepping out of the box with this. Good News Clubs, which happen in schools or in houses, in our buildings. They're up 9%. We have 9% more Good News Clubs this year. 5-day clubs, outdoor clubs, they're up 4%. And our Christmas clubs really went up 12% this year. This is all something different. There's no chart. It's simple data. And it's something that you can go to really quickly, and your audience can really visualize and see what's done with that. Okay, so the next design tip is this: use color well. How many of you can read? Are there any numbers that you see in there?
70.
Okay, I hear 74. Does anyone see 71? How about 84? If you look carefully, how many of you don't see any colors at all? Okay, welcome to Gary Cousins' world, who I created this presentation with. He's completely and utterly colorblind. He couldn't see anything. And so you want to keep in mind your audiences, between 2 and 4% of the population have some kind of colorblindness. And of that population, 98% of them are men. So ladies, you lucked out on this. So using color well, now I'm going to say this. Sometimes using color well, we tend to think, oh, hey, I can use all the colors of the rainbow in my presentation, and I'm just going to pour color all over there. Remember, simplicity is the ultimate sophistication. Use less amount of colors. Use it in your presentation. Use it well. Again, you're simplifying. You're making it easy to recognize, easy to read, easy to follow. One great way to start is look at the color wheel and get to know the color wheel and understand the color wheel. And I'm going to show you just a few examples of colors. We have analogous colors. Colors in any group that's put together, any kind of a combination of three side by side. Any of these colors will work well together. You can use complementary colors, any colors that are across from each other. Any of these colors here will work well with any of these colors here. And if I decide to change it, any of these colors will work well here. You can use a triad system where you have any three colors working well together. And what I mean by three colors, we have our main colors here, but we have different variations of the colors. These variations of the colors will work with any of the variations of these colors. So you're not... You're staying limited, but you actually have some boundaries, or you have more play than sometimes you think you do. So using that, use another design tip. Choose fonts intentionally. Choosing fonts intentionally, you don't want to use hard-to-read fonts. You don't want to use fonts that that don't convey the proper thing. You know, sometimes you see wedding invitations have these beautiful scripty typefaces. Well, if you're doing something that's elegant, you don't want a horror movie typeface. I mean, common sense would say that, but I've seen that in a presentation where they have something very sophisticated that they're telling about and they use kind of a horror movie type typeface. I'm thinking, what are they doing? What are they thinking? So you choose fonts intentionally. Again, limit the amount of fonts and typefaces that you're using. Now, we can have a typeface has a type family is like, let me say this, Arial, Arial Bold, Arial Regular, Arial Italic, Arial Bold Italic. That's a type family. You can use it, all of those in your presentation that would work well. But another thing to think is have contrasting typefaces. Don't have two typefaces in your presentation that look very similar. You want to try to have one that's a lightweight and another one's really, really heavy. Now, thankfully, the typeface that I'm using, this is American typewriter, it has a nice thin and a real nice thick that works well in a presentation together. So again, you want your main point to be your main point on a slide. Really make it emphasized. That's what I try and do. Fonts are my point on this slide. I'm emphasizing fonts. That's one way you can really help your slide. Just be clear and show. Another design tip, use the slide sorter that's built into PowerPoint. You have a way you can go through your presentation and you can look and you can see exactly how, it's kind of like when you had your sticky notes all over the board. It's the same concept. Go through here, look at your entire presentation as a whole and see does it flow well? Are there too many slides? Are there too little slides? Use the slide sorter and get a big picture view of it. Yes?
Which menu option is that?
All right. So if you look down here, now it might be slightly different in PowerPoint, in your PowerPoint. Notice down here you have your presentation mode, your working mode, and then the middle is the slide sorter. So that's where you can look for it, right in there. It might be a little different in the newer versions of PowerPoint. It's not new, it's just like that? Okay, great. Okay, very quickly, I'm running out of time. Six tips for presenters. First of all, again, use presenter mode. So in the slides that I'm using, I have my notes down here. I have my current slide that's up and I have the next slide that's coming. Actually, on this one, this is the previous, this is the one I'm on, and this is the next slide to come up. And using presenter mode lets you get an idea of what's happening. And in fact, it even tells you slide 2 here. It'll show you, I have it nice and big. I'm on slide 42 of 69. I've been running for 20, it says 26 minutes. That's wrong, but it's 5:10. It's almost dinner. I'm hungry. You know, things like that. So use your presenter mode. Next one, use a remote. Use a remote if you can figure out how to use it right. But using a remote can help you give a little life to your presentation. Unless, if you're the type of person that stays in one place, you may not need a remote. But if you tend to move around a little bit, using a remote can just give your presentation a little bit of life. I also like to think of it this way. I'm trying to get my step count up. So this presentation is going to get me way over the top. Next one, next tip, use keyboard shortcuts. And there's some great shortcuts. For instance, if you're using, if you're in a really dark room and you want to show, you want to blank the screen, B for black blanks the screen. Now, I know that works in several languages, but just test it out with yours. But I believe it's the B. If you hit the B again, it'll come back on. W for white. So you can hit W and it'll white out your screen. Or, for instance, I'm typing in now, I'm on 44. So if I go to 23 and hit enter, it'll bring me back to this slide. If I just hit 44 and enter, it'll take me back to this slide. So if you need to go back and forth, and that's another thing I do with my presentations, I print out all my slides so that if someone asks me a question about a slide, I can say, oh, okay, that was slide 38 that I can quickly go to. So use keyboard shortcuts. Another one, now that projectors are getting better, keep the lights on. Because you don't want your audience to fall asleep. Or if you want them to take notes, this is perfect. The projectors of today are a lot better than they were 10 years ago. You can keep the lights on and you can still show your presentation. Next one, don't read your speech. I think that's a little bit self-explanatory. Next one. Now, I forgot to say this is a, these are not rules, these are recommendations, or these are guidelines to follow. Don't look at the screen. Try not to look at the screen. Sometimes you can't help it. Sometimes you have to. But if I start looking at the screen, my voice doesn't project out. My eyes aren't out on the audience. So keep your eyes on the audience. Don't look. I have it right here anyway. Now I'm going to show for the last few minutes, just very, very quickly, some before and afters of what I might do, some options that I came up with for some slides. So we have some before and afters, and I'm going to start with one of the worst slides that I remember seeing in my life. This one. I started hyperventilating when I saw this. Started thinking, Lord, help me. And there's a lot of things. Now, usually I ask audience participation, but I have 3 minutes left to go. So I'm just going to say a couple of things. Right here, this gets lost. It's a little hard to read. We have everything on there right now. So you already know I'm going to talk about boredom, about poor opinion of the class, of all these things. Do these little clip art children, do they evoke any emotions? Not much. Not much. So here's one option that I came up with. Again, so I have reasons children don't attend. And again, it clipped off a little bit of my slide, but I'm going to go one by one. Boredom, lack of interest, subtle things that I'm doing. So just a little bit. Or I could do this. Boredom. Boom. Okay? Or lack of interest. Okay? The other thing, I'm treating it as a canvas. I'm going off a little bit on the sides. I'm using photos that people say, she's not interested. So things like that. Sort of, you know, again, it's simple, but it's not boring. I have another slide here that's used. And sometimes, I'm going to say this, sometimes you have to use text on your slides. Sometimes you can't get away from it. And so you can always enhance your presentation by changing things. First of all, they framed it again. They're not using the canvas. The other one is this. You have sometimes you can have competing colors that kind of fight for each other, you know, fight with each other. So in this way, what I want to do is this. I'm going to simplify it a little bit. So I have this picture of a girl. Now, my kids love going up and down, up and down, up and down stairs. And I have a feeling that children with ADD probably would love stairs. You know, they can go up and down, they can go up and down, they can go up and down and entertain themselves for hours. And so with that in mind, I thought, okay, I'm going to use the picture of the girl, get that connection, that visual connection, and then I'm going to highlight that ADD is not. And so I simplified it. I cut out the first section because you can always verbalize that. And I highlighted the three main things that they had. And then to just give it emphasize that it was quote, there's my quote marks right there with it. And of course, Jody, I have just nice and small. Okay, another one. Why does a young teen have little self-esteem? Again, we have the clip art, and hey, he's smoking a cigarette. We don't want to really convey that, but this art here doesn't match with anything that we're doing in our presentation. And we have a lot of text here. It's spaced unevenly. This can get a little hard to read for those in the back. So here's a couple options that I have. What are the reasons for it? So I'm going to do a very simple transition. What are the reasons for it? Well, first of all, environment. I'm going to change this next slide. So environment's still up there. It's just, I just changed the opacity of it, made it a little bit less. So friendships, attempt at conformity, depression. Or if you want it just to be a general topic and you really want to say, boom, you can change it, low self-esteem right there. Give, you know, I intentionally on this used a black and white image because it shows Black and white tends to take some emotion out. You know, we're talking about low self-esteem. They're down. It's a dark area that they're in, keeping it dark. Moving real quick. Problem of drug abuse. Well, first of all, the problem of, there's an ellipsis here that gets caught in the clip art. So we have clip art here. We have something here that doesn't match. We have this clip art. There's no emotional connection to that. So I used something very, very simple. Hey, what's the problem of drug abuse? It's going to get hooked. It's going to kill you. Fish that get hooked, if they're caught by fishermen that love to eat fish, it usually doesn't end well for the fish. So that's kind of what I'm conveying. And these pictures that I'm showing you, I got from free photo places. So this won't even cost you any money to create. Very quickly, because I'm out of time. Learning styles, these come in. So there's a lot going on these, so I changed it. So the theme, I wanted to make sure that the theme was consistent throughout. Left was always orange, right was always purple, and I made the main point, so again, I'm sorry that I cut it off a little bit, but just so people understood, it was in the learning styles thing, we have left and right, so we have left. Analytical comes in from the left, global comes in from the right. Just little things, subtleness that can help. Next thing, a chart. First of all, that's the CEF logo on that helicopter. I kind of don't think that's legal in the CEF world of doing that. And I don't think we own a helicopter. But this chart kind of makes it difficult to understand. So I'm going to go with a simple slide with a simple animation showing growth. And the fact that we're soaring with CEF, this TC is soar, get an image. An eagle would have worked here. Something in flight, something that's soaring. So simplicity, and again, I'm not adding all the numbers, and I don't have lines. I'm showing a simple comparison between the two. My next thought is this. Slide transitions can help in your presentation add effects that some people don't even realize. Let me give you an example. 1937, Jesse Overholtzer found CEF. 1976, international headquarters went to Warrenton. And in 2015, CMI celebrated 70 years. So again, let me go back and show again, just by having a simple move over can give the appearance of animation when it's just a slide transition. So I also did this in a few other ones where I had lines going one way, and so it was going up, it was going over, it was going down, but it never took away from the presentation. So, I have an offer for you, and it's this. After conference, because if you email me now, with all the photos and things that's happening, it's going to be crazy, but I can email this to you as a PDF. So if you just want to get that, Brent Hotley at cfonline.com. Just say, notes on the presentation, or PDF of the presentation notes, and I'll email this to you, and here's what's great about it. I have all these links in the back. You know, for the resources and the colors and the fonts and the PowerPoint templates. In fact, the PowerPoint templates, scratch that off. I kind of don't think PowerPoint templates are a good idea. But on all those things, instead of you taking this and typing it, I have these as clickable links on the PDF. You just click it and it'll open up that website. Okay? So email me. And that is, I'll be able to help you in that regard. So I want to thank you very much. Because we're over time, what we can do, if you want to stay just a couple minutes, I'll answer some questions. But if you need to go, I'm not going to feel bad at all. So, yeah.
Can you look at that previous slide sketch with your address?
Yes. Sure. Sure. Certainly. Well, thank you for coming.